time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben-Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order. For however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio, there are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and the entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. Good morning, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. The CDC has a grave conflict of interest because they own the patents on 56 different vaccine. Events have forced a glaring spotlight on a $30 billion a year vaccine industry. First announced a plan to establish a commission chaired by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to investigate the vaccine safety and the scientific integrity of vaccines. The second, again featuring Robert F. Kennedy and also the actor Robert De Niro, they both announced that there was a $100,000 reward to any scientist or group or anyone else who could conclusively prove the safety of mercury in the form of Thermosil in vaccines. And both events have unleashed a storm of fury from the mainstream media, because many of whom libel both Robert De Niro and Robert F. Kennedy as vaccine skeptics or anti-vaccine or anti-science, despite the men's repeated objections and insistence they are not anti-vaccine or anti-science. The very specific concern is the volume of vaccines being added to the CDC's childhood immunization schedule. The presence of mercury in many of these vaccines are still there. Some of them have been taken out of children's vaccines, but in the flu and all many other vaccines, you still have the Thermosil. Now, the CDC determines the immunization schedule for all children, and failure to comply with it means that children can be refused admittance to public schools, and that schedule certainly merits closer scrutiny. The agency has doubled the number of required vaccines since 1980s, with nearly 40 doses of vaccines now required before the age of 2 years old. Now, coincidentally, or so the CDC would have you believe, autism increased tenfold since the 1980s. Asthma and severe allergies have doubled in the same time. Allergies to peanuts have increased dramatically, so that people now are life-threatened by peanuts. And again, that's because many vaccines have peanut oil as part of the vaccine. So when you're injecting that into the bloodstream, the body is making antibodies against that. And that's why some of these kids now, their life is threatened from the exposure of peanuts. So while the media has busily been defending the vaccine industry, labeling all who question it as anti-science and a risk to public health, they have managed to avoid broadcasting a glaring conflict of interest that should have made headlines worldwide. And that is that the CDC's own cozy relationship with and direct involvement in the vaccine industry. So the CDC proudly claims the following about its own immunization safety office. And it says, sound immunization policies affecting children and adults in the U.S. depend on continuous monitoring of the safety and effectiveness of vaccines. And the CDC uses many strategies to assess vaccine safety, to identify health problems possibly related to vaccines. were any of this true, it would mean that the CDC would have to be 100% divorced from the vaccine industry, which it is policing and doing the investigations. The problem is the media has consistently derided Robert F. Kennedy for his claim that the CDC holds patents. Ginger Taylor of the Green Med Info talked to Mark Blaxill, an intellectual property legal expert, to determine just exactly how many such patents the CDC does in fact own. And to everybody's shock, Blaxill found not 20, but 57 different patents granted to the CDC. Since one of the patents did not seem to be directly applicable to vaccines, the official number was reduced to 56 and included patents on vaccines for flu, for rotavirus, for hepatitis A, for pneumococcal diseases, for gastroenteritis, for SARS. And interestingly enough, they even had a vaccine to be used for the Zika virus. So this is the ultimate example of appointing the fox to guard the hen house. How could anyone ever trust the CDC to generally assess the safety of vaccines, considering it costs $500 million to develop one, and they clearly have a vested financial interest in getting those shots to the market? Barbara Fisher, president of the National Vaccine Information Center, summed it up perfectly when she said, "The CDC has a very hard time investigating in an unbiased way what is happening to our children because of ideological and financial conflicts of industry." So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me again here at Natural Solutions Radio. This is the show where you can health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. Today's a little bit of a controversial show. What I'd like to actually talk about right now is the beginning of the American Medical Association, because I believe it was built on racketeering profits. And the year was 1847, and physicians in America were not enjoying good salaries because they were having to compete with inexpensive natural remedies from Indians practicing American Indian medicine. They were having to deal with natural doctors, herbalists, midwives, and all of these medicines that they were giving were very easily obtainable. They were also very effective. They'd been used for hundreds and hundreds of years. They were not very profitable, nor were they patentable, but they were cutting into the new practice of medical. So the physicians got together and they formed an alliance called the AMA, or the American Medical Association. And only the regular doctors were allowed to join this new prestigious organization, which strictly excluded herbalists, natural healers, homeopaths, American Indian herbalists, and the naturopaths at the time. And the new bylaws were enacted, and they would ensure that any physician caught dealing with non-regular physicians would be cast out. Their reputation would be ruined. There was only one problem, and it was a huge problem. Conventional medicine in the America was based on a philosophy, not on science, because nothing had been tested. We knew this as a cold, hard fact today. All of the research, all of the studies, when you go back, all of these new medications were coming out of the oil industry, And the pharmaceuticals, they wanted to sell these prescription drugs. They came up with the idea that it had to be prescription only, and only the white-coated MDs that were allowed into the AMA were allowed to write these prescriptions, for obviously they were told to be very tested and the latest in medicine. At the time, conventional medicine was nothing more than bloodletting and mercury poisoning and other methodology that we laugh at today. Well, word started getting out, and doctors from Europe who visited and then returned back home to Europe told others of the ill health of the average American, whose skin was sallow and eyes were sunken and their teeth and jaws crooked. And lo and behold, these are all the symptoms of mercury poisoning. And mercury was called quacksilver. What happened is that the mercury drugs at the time were considered quackery. Those were the poisons that were given out by the pharmaceutical industry. And so the whole idea of quackery originally came from the mercury-laden pharmaceutical industry. And that's why it's still in vaccines and flu shots, because they can get away with it, and they've been using it for hundreds of years. Well, what happened is you come forward now, again in the late 1800s, all of these drugs were prescription only, and only the AMA white-coated doctors could write those. But in the year 1905, Collier's Magazine published an expose on the patentable remedy industry, or the pharmaceutical industry. In a series of articles called The Great American Fraud, but by then it was too late to stop the tsunami of conspiracy that was crashing in on the natural medicines. AMA had created Department of Investigation, and they hunted down any doctors still using natural remedies. And the department's sole job was to shut down any other of these healers who could threaten the AMA profits. So the AMA's thug department, the Department of Investigation, actually kept files on anyone who was cured of cancer. They also kept files on health foods, vitamins, acupuncture, faith healing. They even kept it on Scientology. And the head of the AMA was Morris Fishbein. He was a criminal and extortionist back in 1910. And if you did not pay him large sums of money for the AMA seal of acceptance, you simply could not survive in the medical field. Fishbein was the ultimate scam artist for the AMA, and the AMA never even had any facilities to test any of the drugs which they put their seal of approval on. Well, when you jump forward to 2001, three state medical societies joined together with only 75,000 members, and they sued the nation's largest health insurers. 12 different health plans and their so-called managed care authorities were violating federal racketeering laws. 20 individual doctors from 7 states accused managed care companies of denying medical necessity treatments, systematically delaying payments, and bundling claims. And bundling means they were making piles of claims they didn't want to pay and denying them without review just to keep the money. Well, the end result is the HMO insurers, the managed care practices, had violated the Federal Racketeering and Corrupt Organizations Act. The HMOs automatically downcoded and bundled claims. They even had software which had protocols set by the American Medical Association well in advance. This enabled the mass manipulation of reimbursements. Well, the AMA was found guilty of racketeering 3 different times. You know, there's what's called the repeat offender. 3 strikes and you're out. Well, anyway, the American people, for the most part, are so oblivious to the medical corruption that even when the big cats do get busted red-handed for quackery and racketeering, they still go right back to the same doctors. So the AMA is a nonprofit agency which gladly accepted huge sums of advertising fees from tobacco companies who advertised heavily in the Journal of the American Medical Association through the 20th century. After scientific proof came in about the dangers of smoking and the development of lung cancer, the AMA still ran ads that quoted doctors talking about smoking their favorite brands of cigarettes and claiming that Camels were good for digestion. The AMA also paid salaries and expenses for a team of medical doctors and lawyers to covertly destroy the entire chiropractic profession in the United States. And this is not some conspiracy theory or accusation. In 1990, the chiropractors won a landmark antitrust lawsuit where the court ruled that the AMA had violated the Sherman Antitrust Act. And in 1998, an article in the New York Times, the AMA paid Sunbeam Corporation nearly $10 million. And I don't need to go through that whole thing. What they did do was that they buried natural remedies, and that's a big business. Cancer attacks every other man and woman and every third woman in the United States. There is a 50% survival rate, and you need a plan. Who are you going to trust if you get cancer? Would you trust this huge pharmaceutical company that run Western medicine? And these are Nazi scientists who invented chemotherapy. It came from mustard gas. Or would you trust cancer patients who were at stage 4 or 5 on their deathbeds and were healed by herbal therapy or from naturopathy and who swore that the treatments were natural and that they cured their cancer? Okay, well, what happens when those doctors are found out, the entire industry of the AMA goes after those doctors. Nothing has changed. The National Cancer Institutes, they are, again, in the pockets of Big Pharma and in the AMA. And the infamous AMA seal of approval is exactly the same situation that we have today with the FDA, where the FDA gives a seal of approval to pharmaceutical drugs, and they're supposedly tested for safety. So for those inclined to place their trust in the AMA, just take a look at the association's history. What's the whole moral of the story? Since before World War II, Americans have been falsely reaffirmed by the FDA, AMA, National Cancer Institute, that conventional medicine is based on science and that all of this natural medicine is a big lie. So I tell you that it's not true. I'm going to suggest that you seek out natural remedies and that you seek out those that will help you in lifestyle changes. And that's the most important thing that you can do, not reach for the drug system. When you go to a traditional AMA doctor, you're going there and saying, "Doctor, I don't want to change my lifestyle. I don't want to change what I'm eating. I don't want to take vitamins or I don't want to do exercise. Just give me a pill for my symptoms." When you go to any herbalist or natural doctor in the country, the first thing you know you're going to have to do is change your lifestyle, change your diet, change how you relate to your entire life. So we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. This next article is the true history of cancer in the United States. And you don't have to go back very far Actually, it's only a little over of a century to find out when cancer was bred in the United States as a form of income for the tyrants of the medical industry. Forget about conspiracy theories. Let's talk facts, facts alone. And in fact, a whole barrage of them that reveal a dirty path of corruption and planning. On the last article, I talked about the beginning of the AMA in 1847 to go after the natural healers, the midwives, the Indian, American Indian healers, and the naturopaths at the time. What they did is they created the AMA, and only doctors that were giving the approval were allowed to join. They started with the 1905, actually, with the Department of Investigation to hunt down doctors who were using these natural remedies, and they wanted to shut them down. This would ensure the rise of the AMA profits. At that same time, the pharmaceutical industry started coming out with these patentable drugs. Well, once they were patented, they needed a sales team to be able to market these drugs, and they allowed only the prescribed AMA physicians that the AMA said were okay, and they were the ones allowed to prescribe these patented medicines. It was at that time that they started to go after all of the natural colleges, and there were 100 natural colleges in the United States, naturopathic colleges and iridology, herbalism. Anyway, the AMA started to go after all of these colleges. Universities that had the seal of acceptance were able to continue. And so within the next 10 to 15 years, over 100 colleges were shut down because what they did is they used their foundations and they took away the funding for any college that practiced natural medicine and only gave funding for those colleges doing research on these new prescription medications. It was a huge scam. None of the medical doctors in America were kind of privy to it. At the same time, all nutrition education was covertly removed from the medical colleges, and chemical drugs were the only legal medicine. Preventable diseases were just including Alzheimer's and diabetes and heart disease and arthritis and most cancers before the 1900s were all cured or unheard of mostly because of the use of natural medications. Well, the infamous AMA we know of today started it all, and they're still working hard to perpetuate the nightmare. They're saying that only these pharmaceutical drugs are really what works. So what exactly is cancer? Cancer's in uncontrolled division, multiplication, and spread of mutated and warped cells that attacked healthy cells and organs. And most cancer stems from the consumption of garbage chemicals that cause an acidic body to be deprived of oxygen and to be deprived of nutrients. Though cancer was not literally created in the United States, the toxic food industry was, and the toxic drug industry was, by promoting these toxic foods. Think of it, Tricks are for Kids and Cocoa Puffs and Big Macs. I'm talking garbage stuff that's at all of these fast food restaurants. What we see today is one of every three Americans get cancer in their lifetime, and half of these unfortunates are terminated. Well, let me give you the timeline of how cancer occurred in the United States. In the 1900s, most cancers were very, very rare. Only about 90 people out of every 100,000 people are diagnosed with cancer. In 1905, the AMA begins suppressing the known cancer cures for ailments of all sorts, and especially for cancer, and they removed nutritional education from medical colleges' curriculum, and they closed down the natural colleges. By 1930, any scientist and physician who discovered a cure for cancer found their labs either destroyed or the materials confiscated. Then they're arrested, silenced, or they were murdered. And this is still happening today, by the way. And you can go back and read some of the death by medicine and the history of the American Medical Association and some of these other books that I've mentioned. And you can find out what was going on. In the 1930s, the FDA, the AMA, and the CDC were suppressing and denying natural cures and prevention strategies for cancer. And the CDC and the FDA were using their government industry to go after any doctor or any person that said that these natural medicines actually cured anything. And that's why today you'll find that the natural doctors, naturopaths, homeopaths have to be very careful of the language that they use because they can be arrested. Now, an MD can say, you know, that we're going to write these prescriptions for you, even though these prescriptions have never been double-blind studied to see do they really cure disease or not. Again, in the 1930s, microbiologist Dr. Royal Rife proves that if microbes inside cancer cells were killed, the cells can revert back to normal cells and they can kill cancer. In 1931, doctors from around the country joined Dr. Raymond Royal Rife, who invented the first high-powered microscope that could actually directly observe bacteria and viruses. He actually isolated a filterable virus of cancers and succeeded in destroying the typhus bacteria. Not to mention, he also destroyed the herpes virus and even strains of polio. And this was done in 1931. By 1937, the AMA went after Dr. Royal Rife because they tried to buy his patentable medicines, and Royal Rife said, no, I'm not selling them to you. So then what the AMA did is they went after Royal Rife for fraudulent medical practices to take his license away. By 1938, the AMA were visiting all doctors who supported Dr. Royal Rife and those who were using his instruments and his inventions and also his natural medicines, and they warned them that if they continued to use them, they will lose their medical license. In 1939, the AMA and the FDA destroyed Dr. Royal Rife's laboratory and attempted to destroy all of his research, including his academic committee records that he had done research on cancer cures, and those cancer cures research were originally set up by the AMA, and he had a 100% cure rate among some of the most advanced cancers. So in 1939, the AMA literally pays cancer researcher Dr. Arthur Kendall over $250,000, that would be about a $5 million today, to stop working on cancer in the United States. So by 1944, Dr. Kendall died of mysterious unknown causes. And in the 1940s, lung cancer is scientifically discovered to be caused by smoking cigarettes. Yet the AMA and 20,000 doctors still endorsed cigarettes as healthy and good for you for another 30 years. In 1945, the auspicious beginning of water fluoridation begins in Grand Rapids, Michigan, just as World War II ends. Hitler had previously used fluoridation, the same type of fluoride in the drinking water. He used them in concentration camps to weaken and keep the Jews from rebelling them because it causes brain changes and causes apathy. In 1950, post-World War II food factories and plants began processing American foods in cans, adding cancer-causing chemicals and additives and preservatives. In 1955, Dr. Jonas Salk removes kidneys from rhesus monkeys, injects them with three different strains of polio, incubates them to stimulate the growth of the virus. Then he dilutes the combination of strains with formaldehyde to weaken the virus, and then he injects it into live monkey mice and rabbits and claims, along with the CDC, this new miracle vaccine of the century. And it had been discovered that it's safe and potent and effective. Well, fake polio vaccine cure is shipped in vials all over the world, and the false herd theory was invented. Polio disappeared not because of the vaccine, but because of hygiene and because of hardware stores that started coming on every corner in every city. You also had laws everywhere.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Whether it's foods that help with depression, or foods that stop inflammation, or foods that build the immune system, or foods that prevent osteoarthritis, or foods that prevent autoimmune diseases, you're going to see a thread, and that it all has to do with the same foods. Eating healthy, or are you eating junk food? That's the thing on this radio show. You're finding there's a similarity to almost everything that promotes health and all of the foods that promote dis-ease. And one of the great things about naturopathy and the way we teach, it's the body systems approach. We're not attempting just to alleviate symptoms. What we're talking about are, how do you enhance health? So again, when you go to a regular doctor, one of the things that you're going to notice is that you go to the doctor and you say, Doc, I don't want to make any changes in my life. I don't want to change my diet. I don't want to change my exercise. I just like what I'm doing. Just give me a pill to stop the symptoms that I'm experiencing. When you go to any naturopath in the world, the first thing that they're going to talk to you about is your lifestyle. How do you drink water? What foods are you eating? Are you on an exercise program? How do you de-stress your body? So all of those are going to be covered. And the first thing you know is that you're going to have to change your diet. That's almost a given in any kind of a natural program for anybody, anywhere in the world. So you find these same threads all over the world. Because naturopathic medicine, we can actually trace our history all the way back to Egypt and to the Therapeutae. I'm in the Sacred Medical Order of the Knights of Hope. And when you look at these the orders, these hospitaller orders, you'll find that they trace their lineage back. When you look at, where does health come from? Where does disease come from? And when you look at all of the natural approaches, the whole idea is to promote health, to promote, how do you enhance the body systems? How do you make them work more appropriately? Where when you go again to the doctor, they're going to give you a pill, and that's going to alleviate the symptom. And oftentimes that pill causes another symptom, but don't worry, we have another pill that will get rid of that symptom. So today, anyway, I'd like to continue on a thread. What I want to talk about is the true history of cancer in the USA. And you don't have to go back far, actually. It's only a little over a century ago to find out where cancer came from. And forget about conspiracy theories. Let's talk about facts. And in fact, a whole barrage of them that reveal a dirty path of corruption and planning. We'll start off with the year 1905, when the American Medical Association created what they called the Department of Investigation, and that's part of the Rockefellers, and they decided to hunt down any of the doctors in the country that were using natural medicines, and they wanted to shut them down, because what was coming out at the time were the new prescription medicines that were patented. The pharmaceutical companies owned the rights to these patented medicines. And they wanted to have a group of people that would market those patented medicines. Natural medicines, herbs and vitamins and dietary approaches were not patentable, so you couldn't guarantee the income. Where the pharmaceutical industries, they own these new patentable drugs, but they needed an outlet. They needed someone that could be the purveyors of these drugs. So what did they do? They gave the rights to those patented medicines to the American Medical Association. This would ensure the rise of the AMA profits because they could write a prescription for those new medicines, and they called them scientific. And it cost huge amounts of money to develop these drugs, and the pharmaceuticals make billions and billions of dollars. But one of the Ponzi schemes they came up with was nonprofit foundations, and that was to scam the public to give their money to help them research some of these drugs. And of course, once that research was completed, those drugs were then put on the market at very high prices, even though the research was funded by the public. So the Department of Investigation kept files on all of the doctors across the country, regular doctors that were using these new prescription drugs, and doctors that were still using natural therapies. And they were working with midwives. They were working with the American Indian shamans. They were working with herbalists, and they were working with the natural healers. And what they wanted was they wanted the new AMA to be scientific, quote unquote. And so the Department of Investigation hunted down the doctors that were working with midwives and were working with these shamans and were working with the natural medicines, and they sanctioned them. And they kept files on them, and they also kept files on the patients, those that were cured of cancer by natural medicines. They also kept notes on foods, and foods that contained high amounts of vitamins and minerals, and foods that promoted health. Morris Fishbein, who I think personally was a crook at the time and an extortionist, and they gave what was called the American Medical Association Golden Seal of Acceptance. And it sounds today's like fast-track drug approval. But Morris Fishbein, which was the head of the Journal of the American Medical Association, required these drug companies to pay large sums to be advertised in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The AMA didn't have any facilities to test these new pharmaceutical drugs, so they took the testing from the pharmaceutical industry. And in the natural industry, we think that basically it was kind of a huge scam. But no medical doctors in the United States were privy to it. And at the same time, all nutrition education was covertly removed from medical colleges. And this Department of Investigation went around and they investigated all of the medical colleges in the United States. And there were the natural medical colleges, there were osteopathic colleges, there were naturopathic colleges, and of course the AMA medical colleges. They were finding which colleges were promoting natural therapies and which medical colleges were promoting the chemical drugs that were considered at the time by the AMA the only legal medicines. These were legal pharmaceuticals. So preventable diseases, which really at the time were dealing very well with Alzheimer's and diseases like diabetes and heart disease and arthritis and cancer through natural means, well, they AMA doctors realized that's taking money out of their pockets. And really, before 1900, there was barely any cases of these preventable diseases and disorders that existed. And the infamous AMA we know today started it all, and they're still working hard today to perpetuate what we consider the nightmare of medicine. At the same time, you had all of these new foods that were being produced, and these were all synthetic foods, packaged foods, foods that were being marketed to the public, not based on their health, but based on advertising gimmicks that would make you feel good. Where any commercial that was for pet foods always had to do with the health of the animal, the shininess of the coat, the health of the bones. What you were seeing was a disparity in how natural foods or how foods were produced. And again, that's when all these synthetic foods were coming out. That's when milk started to be processed with hormones and growth hormones. That's when animal beef and lamb and pork started to be processed with hormones and steroids and antibiotics. So then you started to have a lot of different diseases. That's when cancer started to explode. And cancer is the uncontrolled division of the spread and mutation of warped cells that attacked healthy cells and organs. Now, I'm not going to get into what happens, but needless to say, Dr. Otto Warburg proved in 1931 and again in 1944 what the causes were. And by eating all of these synthetic foods and processed foods and drinking a lot of alcohol, it lowered the oxygen uptake and the oxygen that was available to the cells of the body. And when cells of the body are deprived of oxygen, they turn acidic. Lactic acid builds up because that's only produced when there's low oxygen. So what happened, most cancer stems from the consumption of all of these chemicals that caused an acidic body to be deprived of oxygen. And when you're deprived of oxygen, you're also depriving the cells of the nutrients to stay alive. So cancer was not literally created in the United States. It was the toxic food and the medical environment that catapulted cancer to be excessive. So, of course, now doctors had to look at how do we prevent these devastating disease. So there's a timeline where you can actually look at, because when you go back, today we live in a time where 1 in 3 Americans is going to get cancer in their lifetimes, and half of those unfortunates are going to be terminated. They're going to die from their cancer. And there is this timeline that you can really follow. And so I want to go through that timeline. And you'll see what I mean. In 1900, cancer, especially lung cancer, was very rare. And only about 90 people out of every 100,000 people were diagnosed with cancer. And then 1905, the AMA began suppressing known natural cures for ailments of all sorts, and they were removing nutritional education from medical colleges and the curriculums of colleges. And by 1930, any scientist and physician who discovered cures for cancer found their labs destroyed. And there's numerous studies and stories throughout the 30s and 40s where labs were just mysteriously burned or materials were stolen and confiscated. Then, because they had so much power and they used the power of the police force, that these doctors were practicing unscientific medicine. So they were arrested and then charged by the AMA for practicing medicine without a license if you were a naturopath, because over that period of time, 100 naturopathic colleges were closed, and so were the colleges that were teaching natural medicine. And unless you practiced allopathic medicine and used those pharmaceuticals, then those doctors were arrested, silenced, or even murdered. This is still happening today. I know that's pretty radical thing to say, but yet we know it's true. During the 1930s, the FDA, the AMA, and the CDC continued their suppression to deny natural cures and prevention strategies for cancer. And then you started to have other cancers that started to come up. You started heart disease and heart attacks. And again, before 1905, most doctors had never seen a heart attack or never seen heart disease. Then in the 1930s, microbiologist Dr. Royal Rife proved that microbes inside cancer cells, if they're killed, the cells can revert back to normal cells and you can cure cancer. And he was actually challenged and took many cases that were considered incurable. There was a study done with 16 cases that were considered incurable, and all of them were 100% cures. So doctors from around the country joined Raymond Royal Rife, who invented the first high-powered microscope that could directly observe bacteria and viruses. He isolated and was able to filter these viruses, and he was succeeded in destroying the viruses through frequency, different frequency, just like if you sing the right note for an opera singer and they can shatter the glass. What happened is they were able to destroy those bacteria and viruses and actually prevent and destroy the herpes virus and even strains of polio. So let me stop right there. We'll continue with that timeline, and we'll start with 1937, where they indicted Royal Rife. So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio, the show where you can health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. So I want to pick up at 1937. What was happening was that Dr. Royal Rife was curing cancer with frequencies. The AMA, Moorish Fishbein, actually, wanted to buy the rights to those frequencies, and they actually came out with a book that every virus, every bacteria had its own specific frequency and counter frequency that would explode that virus or bacteria, or lice is what it's called. They printed it in a large book, and they created these machines that you can dial in a frequency. Where Moorish Fishbein of the AMA, they wanted to purchase the rights to all of that equipment so that they would be the ones that were treating cancer, and that only the AMA would do that. Well, when they talked to it with Royal Rife, what they found is that they were going to put huge fees on the treatment of these cancers and diseases, whether it was diabetes or arthritis or any of the brand new what was called autoimmune diseases or herpes or polio, and they were going to put large fees on it. So Royal Rife said, no, I'm not going to do that. This is for the public. So what happened is in 1937, they decided to go after Royal Rife, and they indicted him for fraudulent medical practices and saying that his treatments did not work and they were defrauding the public. So in 1938, the AMA visits all doctors who supported Dr. Royal Rife and those who used his instrument inventions that were creating those frequencies, and warned them that if they continued to use equipment, that they would lose their medical license. And remember, that medical license was very prestigious, given only by medical colleges. Natural colleges were disappearing at a tremendous rate. The practice of using natural medicines was then considered practicing medicine without a license, and that they were being gone after, so they were suppressing more and more the use of natural medicine. Naturopaths were put in jail. Then there was a profession of the osteopathics, And osteopathic medicine was actually absorbed into the AMA medicine and became another faction of that. Again, in 1938, the AMA then continued their fight and their continued investigation of doctors that were using natural medicines, and a huge number of them were losing their medical license. So a lot of doctors stopped doing that because they didn't want to lose their practice, and they couldn't revert back to practicing natural medicine because they had outlawed it in so many states. Even though in the 1920s, United States Congress listed naturopathic medicine as a separate and distinct profession in the registry of all professions in the United States. And they said that naturopathic medicine was not practicing allopathic medicine. It was separate and distinct, and that the AMA had no jurisdiction over that. That was pretty much passed over up until just since the 1980s and 1990s. So then, in 1939, to continue, the AMA and the FDA destroyed Dr. Royal Rife's lab and attempted to destroy all of his research, including his academic records and committee records. And again, these were records where the AMA had given incurable cancer patients to Rife, and they were 100% cured. Even pancreatic cancers were cured. So his cure rate was in the 95% or higher, and sometimes 100% among his patients. So again, in 1939, the AMA literally pays cancer researcher Dr. Arthur Kendall over $250,000, which would be about $5 million today, to stop working on the cancer cures and stop working on the frequency cures, frequency medicine, and to retire into Mexico, where he owned land, and so he moved to Mexico. That was in 1939. And then in 1944, Dr. Kendall dies of mysterious unknown causes because he had set up a treatment center in Mexico, again using natural therapies, thinking that he was safe because he was in another country. And it turned out that the AMA and the pharmaceutical industry have tentacles all over the world. Then in 1940, lung cancer is scientifically discovered to be caused by smoking cigarettes, yet the AMA still endorsed cigarettes as healthy and good for digestion, and for another 30 years, they continued that. And you used to see commercials, even when I was a kid, that more doctors recommend Camels or Lucky Strike than any other cigarette. In 1945, the auspices, beginning with water fluoridation, began in Grand Rapids, Michigan, just as World War II ends. Hitler had previously used water fluoridation in the drinking water in concentration camps to weaken the mental capacity of Jews to keep them from rebelling. And there was studies done by the Nazis on fluoride that it caused severe apathy in those consuming it. In 1950, post-World War II, food factories and plants began processing American food in cans, and you started to have more and more foods in packages, and they were using cancer-causing preservatives and different kinds of additives and different kinds of food colorings and chemical preservatives into those foods, all during the 50s. In 1955, Jonas Salk removes kidneys from the rhesus monkeys. He injects them with three different strains of polio and incubates them to stimulate the growth of the virus. Then he dilutes the combination of the different strains of polio with formaldehyde to weaken the virus. Then he injects that entire concoction into the live monkeys. And the monkeys and the rabbits and claims, along with the CDC, the new miracle vaccine of the century, and that it had been discovered that it was safe and potent and effective. Fake polio vaccine cures were shipped in vials all over the world, you had this all of a sudden polio started to go down. But what they didn't tell you is at the same time in the 50s, you started having laws in every city and municipality that demanded the cleaning up of water and water supplies because sewage was going directly into the water. And that was ending up in our drinking water. And what they found, it was the feces in the sewage that was causing the polio. So you started having laws in all of the states across the United States and municipalities that people that own their own land, they had to do their leach lines and septic systems under legal auspices to make sure that those germs from the polluted waters and the feces wouldn't leak into the water that people were drinking. Anyway, what happened is these new miracle polio vaccines were considered safe and potent and efficient. So again, they never covered the fact that all of these places where polio went down, it was because you no longer saw raw sewage going down the middle of the street. You had no more raw sewage being directly pumped into rivers and waterways. In the late 1950s, polio vaccines were given to nearly 100 million Americans contaminated with a hidden leukemia virus and a simian or SV40 cancer virus. And it was admitted and recorded by Merck scientists. And his name was Maurice Hillman, who was there, who witnessed it, who was one of the scientists, was one of the whistleblowers. And he's now one of the forgotten heroes that was saying, look, these polio vaccines are contaminated with leukemia and breast cancer virus. By 1963, researchers inject cancer cells into 19 elderly, depleted patients at a Jewish chronic disease hospital in Brooklyn, New York. And in the 1970s, now we're here we are coming all the way up to the 70s, invasive medical procedures became the norm for treating cancers, including surgery and radiation, the new mammograms and using X-ray radiation, chemotherapy, and all of the chemotherapy at the time were derivatives of mustard gas, which was a poison used in World War I and World War II, and other chemotherapies, very dangerous, toxic pharmaceuticals. In 1971, President Nixon declares war. We called it the fake war on cancer by launching the National Cancer Act while dishing out a cool $100 million to front groups, including the National Cancer Institute. And they were funding studies only on toxic chemotherapy. All of that money that was given was strictly given to institutions that were studying how to use these toxic chemicals, these patented chemicals. None of that money went to study nutrition or Royal Rife's work or any of the work from Sebastian Kneipp or water cures or fasting cures, even what Harvey Kellogg had done using colonics. It was all ridiculed. Then in 1970, Dr. Stanley Brzezinski, he finds an advanced, cutting-edge, non-toxic gene-targeting cure for even the most lethal forms of cancer, such as brain cancers and tumors of the spine, and they were called antineoplasms. And by 1977, again, the AMA comes to Stanley Brzezinski and they say, look, we want to buy the rights to all of these and we'll use them and we'll administer them to the patients under the AMA. Stanley Brzezinski said, no, you're going to charge too much money. You're going to make it unavailable. And we want it to be for the average citizen. So in 1977, the FDA, under the auspices of the AMA, raids Dr. Brzezinski's clinic, steals his patented formula, seizes 12,000 patient records, then what they did is purposefully diluted the most important ingredients of his neoplasms formula, then tested them on cancer patients, claimed that it didn't work, and sued Brzezinski for practicing medicine without a license and fraudulently taking money from people. And people of the cancer clinic, they had gone to him in Texas. And to this day, Brzezinski has won many of the suits, but there's been over and over 14 different times that the AMA has continued to harass Dr. Brzezinski, telling, again, the general public, the FDA, that his claims were all fraudulent. Even though when they used the proper formulas, he had a 90% plus cure rate. At the same time, in the 1980s, you started to have Linus Pauling, who was the vitamin C doctor. He won Nobel Prizes for chemistry. And he said that high amounts of vitamin C can help alleviate most autoimmune diseases and help to fight existing cancers. So at the same time they were going after Brzezinski, they started going after Linus Pauling. Then in 1980, genetically modified organisms were introduced into corn and soybean across the United States. Genetically engineered and mutated produce in America would now be infected with insecticides and herbicides from the inside of those food products. Then also in 1980, you had the Komen Foundation, the American Cancer Society, the National Cancer Institutes, also the Carmonas Cancer Institute, and many more front groups all raise money for the administrations and salaries and the costs mainly, while pretending to search for a cure for cancer. And let me just say the Komen Foundation, where they have the pink ribbon, the reason they pushed mammograms so intensely is that they bought the mammogram manufacturing companies. So, of course, that's why they promote it, and that's when mammograms were promoted over thermograms. I've only got a little bit left. I'm up into the 1980s and just getting into the 2000s. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. I'm covering something that I think is very important, the history of cancer. In the late 80s, then in the 90s, you had Dr. Bob Beck come out. There was research that came from Albert Einstein College in New York City, where they were doing what was called the electrification of the blood, and they found that you can take the blood, put a small minor electrical current directly into the blood, and it will kill cancer cells free-floating in the blood. It'll kill or deactivate viruses. You can't kill a virus. They're not really alive, so you deactivate them. That's a misnomer. A lot of people think viruses are a live organism. They're really not. They're just proteins. But you can deactivate them with these frequencies, with the electrification of the blood and another technique called magnetic pulse generation. So that was during the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. The American Medical Association went to Dr. Bob Beck and said, "We want to buy your equipment and your rights because the Albert Einstein College was charging huge amounts of money to be able to have those treatments. And he said, no, this is not right. You can make a little machine that anybody could use at home, attach it to your wrist, and put those same electrical frequencies directly into your blood. He created what was called a magnetic pulse generator that pulsed a magnetic field, the pulsed magnetic wave, and it pulsed every 4 seconds for a quarter of a second, and that pulsed magnetic wave would generate electricity inside the cells. It would, again, inside the cells, destroy the microbes in cancer cells and deactivate viruses. Look up Dr. Bob Beck, Bob Beck Protocols. There's some videos out there, and I was very honored because Soda Instrument Company, the one that makes Bob Beck's equipment, when Bob Beck asked them, we need somebody to interview and answer questions for the public, he said, call Ben Joseph in El Paso. So I was flown up to Canada and worked with Soda Instruments, because they make the Bob Beck equipment. And to this day, I think it's still some of the best equipment out there. Very affordable. You can purchase those right over the counter or from our office. We order them. And it's called the electrification of the blood. And the same machine can make colloidal silver for you to drink that helps with flus and any bacterial infection. And the electrification of the blood and the magnetic pulse generation. So then what happened, you had Google and YouTube and all of the social media, their controllers began massive purges of all the information about curing cancer using natural remedies. And they started going after websites that were promoting CBD oils or hemp oil or electrification of the blood or magnetic pulsing. And they started going after, of course, politically, they went after all of the conservative sites that were on. So this was occurring during 2010. And that continues up today. And it's even worse today than before. I think Congress is going to start regulating Google and YouTube and social media platforms as media outlets, as publishing companies, because they are using their algorithms to stifle. They're no longer, is it a free exchange of information? They're using their bully pulpit to stifle anything that they don't agree with. And that's not what the law was when they were created. Right now, there's no laws that control what they can do. By 2012, National Cancer Institutes were spending over $1 billion annually to bury any of the natural cures, to say they were fraudulent. And they made it illegal to make any claims about natural cures anywhere. You could not say that a natural cure claimed anything. So they were able to, again, use the FDA, AMA, and the government to go after and bury these natural cures. By 2018, which brings us up pretty close to the present, mercury, and at the time, that was last week when I talked about how mercury was used in the late 1800s, and that's where quacksilver came and quacks, the whole AMA were using mercury. And that became the norm for the AMA and pharmaceutical industries to use mercury in their vaccines and other pharmaceuticals. So by 2018, mercury was still used in many of the different vaccines. It was taken out of some of the children vaccines, but not adult vaccines, not the influenza vaccines or the pneumonia vaccines. And it was still used in the flu shots. While the CDC lied about it and saying that it was not there, they were just using mercury in another form. There is no safe level of mercury or formaldehyde or aluminum that can be injected into a human, yet that's what is still being done. Also in 2018, the toxic sodium fluoride was still being used in municipal water and tap water for the majority of Americans. Now, I must say that since 2016, 17, 18, and even 2019, there's many municipalities across the United States that have come to the conclusion that they know that fluoride is not beneficial, and they're taking it out of the water supply. And there's a lot of doctors now that are fighting the AMA, saying that the vaccines are not doing what they say that they're doing, and many of the vaccines are not effective whatsoever. There are some vaccines that are effective, and again, that's like the rabies vaccine or the spinal meningitis vaccine. Those are, I think, very high-grade vaccines that can still be used. But the mercury-laden and formaldehyde-laden vaccines, I think, are terrible. What happened in continuing with 2018 and later, cancer cures are still being buried by the FDA and the CDC and the cancer industrial complex of the United States. Well, where do you find answers? What is the public to do? Well, that's why you listen to this show. There are people, Dr. Bob Beck. You can also get information from people like John Christopher and Bernard Jensen and Pavlo Arola. And you can look up all the greats of natural medicine from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, 70s. And one of the great things of natural medicine, it doesn't change. It's the same type of medicine. It's the understanding of healthy foods. You can also get information on organic food and natural medicines. So there's all kinds of places that now you can find the right information, but you have to do a little bit of research. So this was a kind of almost a labor of love, the history of cancer in the United States. So thank you. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. The opinion and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by the FDA. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us next week. Eliezer Ben-Joseph signing off, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.